We're going to do something just a little different. We're going to do a 10-minute teaching right up front. Every once in a while at the River Church, we like to switch things around, just so you don't really know what you're getting. Keeps you on your toes. I know some of you are new to the River Church, and I think this will provide you just a little bit of background on where we've been the last little last few CWGs, celebration worship gatherings, and then give you a little bit of direction where we're going this morning. We've been in a series called Exploring Our Dark Puzzle Pieces. And the metaphor is this. Many of us have grown up, done life in such a way where we've experienced pain. How many of you experience pain? And oftentimes, pain can come out of nowhere. It can actually happen in a church environment. It can happen outside of church family. But we can experience pain. We can experience even teachings, how things are taught, in such a way that it causes us to be confused around our faith, disillusioned, perhaps. And we call those pieces dark puzzle pieces. And so oftentimes in our faith, we don't know what to do with that piece. Tragedy, something, extreme loss, something we've experienced or taught in a church environment or outside church, and we don't know what to do with that piece. But we feel like as good Christians, we need to somehow make it fit. And so we force it into the puzzle, and often what happens is it causes the puzzle to be distorted and twisted. And so when we look at our faith and we look at our life and we go, yeah, there's some beautiful parts of our life, but there's still these pieces. I don't know what to do with those things. And those parts of my life are distorted, and we just feel like, you know what? Maybe they'll just go away if I pretend they haven't happened or that they're not there. And we believe that actually they won't go away. In order for us to be the body, beautiful, blameless, the way God intended us to be, collectively, each of our puzzles come together. And if they're distorted, what happens? The church ends up not looking as beautiful as it's really designed and created to be. So what we're doing in this series is encouraging us to look at our pieces. And so in the beginning of this year, each of you wrote down on little pieces of puzzle pieces, you wrote down what your issue might be. And you came and you placed them at the cross and we collected those things. And now we're starting to go through that. And the first puzzle piece that we looked at was this piece called creation and science. And are these things at war? And what do I do with biology and physics and all that I learn at university? And are those things actually in opposition to my faith like they say that they are? And so we began the series. We invited Glenn Van Brummelen from Quest University, who's a follower of Jesus, and he came and taught for 10 minutes. We had Matt Sargent last week, who's a university grad from Stanford University, and he came and he shared what it was like growing up in a Christian home, Christian school, and then going to Stanford University and being told that if you're a Christian, you can't believe in science. And it really threw him. In fact, we believe that many kids go to university, Christian kids go to university, and we set them up for failure. In fact, they go there and their professors tell them that they present the evidence scientifically and they go, if you believe this, you cannot believe in God. And they're made to make a choice. And we believe that that's an unrealistic choice. We're going to be, this will be the last CWG that we actually talk about this, and I'm going to be preaching out of Genesis 1. And but I wanted to give kind of a 10-minute intro. So I've been thinking about what we've been hearing and what we've learned from Glenn and what we've heard from Matt, and this quote from Francis Collins last CWG saying that really there doesn't need to be the battle. There really is no war between faith and science. And in fact, God has written two books. He's written God's Word, and He's also written creation. We call it general revelation and special revelation. When you read God's Word, it opens your heart up to who Jesus is and the gospel story from start to finish. But through Romans 1, we understand that when you look at creation, that too is to communicate God's divine qualities, His eternal power. Read it in Romans 1. Creation communicates those things about God as well. They aren't in opposition to one another. They're actually both communicating the same thing. And it's just unfortunate that we have made this to be a battle when it was never intended to be a battle. It's Remembrance Day. And we are here, many of us today are reflecting on the numerous wars that are going on around our world and people that are laying down their lives so that we can experience freedom. We're here to reflect on that. But that also has got me thinking about how often we fight. We fight globally, but we fight in our communities, and we fight even in our local church body. We fight, and even this week I had a hard conversation with a good friend about something theologically, and it was an interesting just to see how his back went up, and there was this intensity, and all of a sudden the relationship is fractured because we disagree. And I'm wondering, why does it have to be that way? Why can we not talk about these things? And I believe that healthy families talk. I don't know if you ever get into situations where you're dogmatic. But dogmatic is defined as asserting options in a doctrinaire or arrogant manner. It's opinionated. Have you ever been caught in that kind of dialogue with someone? How does that make you feel? When someone is being dogmatic, they're opinionated and somewhat arrogant about their belief, and they're in your face, in your grill about it. How does that make you feel? Some of you back right off. How many of you flight? You take off. You disengage. You're out of there. I don't need this. I'm out of there. Yeah. How many of you fight? You just like, oh yeah, you want to go? Let's go, right? And even if in this setting you're like, no, that's not who I want to be. But often when we are in those situations, your back goes up. I think probably we can identify with both. I used to be involved in a campus ministry where I was involved in that kind of thing. I would actually go onto the university campus. This was 25 years ago. And I would go there looking for an argument. Kind of like, is it Monty Python? At least looking for an argument, right? I mean, it was like I was going there looking for an argument and debate. And I thought that was me, but it so wasn't me. You know, I think that we can believe things passionately and strongly and have strong convictions, but it's really how we go about that really matters, isn't it? And I call that our posture. Do we have a Christ-like posture when we talk about things that really matter? I think that there are some things that Christians fight for that in the end are not that important. In actuality, they don't really advance the kingdom of God. They, in fact, get in the way. And I think for many, this issue of science has really got in the way. And after we did our first CWG, I had 4 phone calls that week of people saying to me, that was a breakthrough Sunday for me. You actually removed an obstacle to faith, and now I have greater freedom to pursue Christ because you have taken that stumbling block away. I wonder how many things that we have actually put in the way that keep people from exploring Christ. And we do it unnecessarily. You know, one of the reasons I love the Alliance, and many of you, you're attracted to the River Church not because we're a denomination, but we are connected with the Christian Missionary Alliance. And I don't often talk about the CNMA. But this is a little something about the the CNMA that I love, and I want you to hear this. The alliance is not about alignment with thinking on all matters, but rather alignment in mission, working together in harmony towards the fulfillment of our vision prayer. The CNMA is a denomination that has within its geography a great and defining valley. In that valley, there resides our diversity and potential polarizing interpretations and positions. Many other denominations have no such real estate, but we see this as the most precious piece of landscape that we possess. This defines what it means to be alliance. This place, the valley of diversity, the valley where we come to debate, reflect, argue, and learn to live, where we see dimly, is the valley we have called home and will continue to do so. In this valley, we meet at the river, and that river is Jesus, and he is our vision, and his mission is our passion. It is because of this truth that we can forget what lies behind and reach forward to what lies ahead and press on to that. So as a body, we desire to operate openly and lovingly with one another, even if we have a diversity of views. We actually believe in unity, in diversity. We don't have to all agree. On some things, I think that's critical. Some of the critical things. But not on all things. And I need all of you in my life. We need each other in our lives. We want to pursue this unity within diversity. So I love that. Some people ask me, oftentimes, they corner me, most often pastors. They ask me, are you Calvinist or are you Arminianist? What are you? Tell me. I want to know. And they want me to present my theological stance on that issue and so that they can either convince me of their opinion or agree with me. And oftentimes I say, I don't think it's either or, it's both and. It really bugs them. And I know we can't answer all questions in this way. You can't be an old earth person and a young earth person. You've got to make a decision on that. But that we see as a minor issue. But many theological things we can actually hold in tension and say, you know what? Somehow they're both. And drop it. You know, I think many really struggle with talking about hard things in their faith because they feel insecure in their relationship with Jesus. They actually don't realize how secure they are. I was going for a mountain bike ride this week with Jim. And I do a lot of really good thinking when I'm climbing, especially as I'm chasing Jim. It helps me deal with my bitterness that he's just so fast. But this is what I was thinking. When I was dating Kenda, I had huge issues, serious commitment issues in my relationship. In fact, many of you know this story. I tried to sabotage that relationship numerous times. I broke off the engagement. And by God's grace, we got back together again. He put us back together again. But I came to this conclusion with Kenda that it was safer and better for me to work out my fear and commitment issues inside the context of a safe relationship rather than outside a safe relationship. And so when I actually committed myself and dealt with that covenant and made a covenant, it was amazing what happened to my fear. Most of it dissipated. It was like now I was in a secure relationship. And she wasn't going anywhere and I wasn't going anywhere. And it was amazing what we could accomplish inside that safe relationship, context of relationship. Same thing goes with our faith. And I wonder how many of us have a difficult time talking about hard things in our faith because we don't feel secure in our relationship. We don't know how secure we actually are in Christ. And so we feel like if I play around with that, if I talk about that issue, I might lose my faith. Really? Do you not know how dearly loved you are? How Christ calls you his holy, beloved son and daughter? Do you not know that he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you? That he holds you in the palm of his hand. That you are absolutely secure in him. And because of that, we can actually go to God with our questions. I mean, look at Job. He was free to ask hard questions with God. Read Isaiah. God invited the community of Israel. Come, let us reason together. Come and talk to me. We are free to talk to our Father. We are in a secure relationship with him. And because of that, we can dialogue with him. It comes down to our identity in Christ. At the end of this series, we will probably spend 4 to 5 CWGs on our identity in Christ. Who we are in Christ. We probably should have started the series with that. But we're gonna end with that. But I'm going to continue to remind us of that every CWG. So the worship team's going to lead us. But before we dive into a time of worship, let me just pray for us around this, and then we'll dive in. Lord Jesus, you've heard our conversation, and you know our hearts. You know one of the reasons why that we often put on the gloves and want to fight one another is that we're afraid. We're afraid that our faith won't take the pressure and strain of and challenge of hard questions and looking at those dark puzzle pieces. But as a result, we overcompensate, we get defensive, we present really big because we're afraid, and we just want to invite you into that fear. And we want to exchange our gloves, our boxing gloves, for a shepherd's staff today. We want, Lord, for you to change our demeanor, change our hearts, and give us that sense of security that we need in you so that we can talk about hard things. So come, shepherd, good shepherd, Jesus, won't you come today and lead us, shepherd us, love on us, show us what it looks like to be a good shepherd with one another and in our community. In Jesus' name.